Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
At some point in time in our life, I think many of us ask the question, am I really following God's will? Am I on the right path of discipleship? The answer to that question can be found in the first reading from the book of Samuel. In it, we hear the wonderful story of God calling Samuel into discipleship. This beautiful story teaches us some great lessons about how we can find out God's will for us and then go about the business of doing it. If you look throughout sacred scripture, when God calls people into discipleship, he does not do so from afar. Instead, it's a very personal invitation, one in which God enters into the life of that person. Moses, while tending sheep in the desert, encounters God in the form of a burning bush. Isaiah, when praying in the temple of Jerusalem, is suddenly confronted by an angel that is sent by God to call him into ministry. Paul, while riding to a town named Damascus to persecute the Christian church there, is suddenly struck down from his horse and encounters the risen Christ. My friends, the first step in knowing God's will for us is to know and trust in the fact that God actively pursues us into relationship. He actively pursues us so that we can do his will. What must we do? Allow ourselves to be caught by God. Now, how does the story of Samuel begin? It says, Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. My friends, it's a basic biblical truth. Sleeping is symbolically a very bad thing in sacred scripture. Remember the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is at the greatest moment of sorrow, in which he now needs the prayerful support of his apostles. Yet Peter, James, and John are found sound asleep. Jesus is on the cusp of doing something that will change the world forever, his suffering, death, and resurrection. And yet the apostles aren't able to see this because they are fast asleep. They are not awakened to the spiritual reality of the presence of God in their midst. Well, now the same thing holds true with Samuel. Samuel is fast asleep, yet notice where he is. He is in the temple, as it says, near the Ark of the Covenant. This is where the presence of God is. And Samuel, like the apostles, is fast asleep. He is not awakened to the spiritual reality of the presence of God in his midst. Step two, in knowing God's will for us, is that we must remain awake, stay alert. Yet how often it is that we are awake to many things in this world, to our careers, to entertainment, to culture, society, relationships, yet we are sleeping in the spiritual life. And so, stay awake, be alert. How do we do that? Prayer. Prayer is what keeps us always awake to the presence of God in our life. As St. Paul says in Galatians, pray unceasingly. We must pray all the time, every day, several times a day. In doing so, we remain alert to the spiritual reality of the presence of God in our life. The story continues. God calls Samuel three times, and each time he goes to Eli. Eli tells him, I am not calling you. Go back to sleep. Samuel cannot distinguish between God's voice and his master Eli's voice. Step number three in knowing God's will for us all is we must prayerfully discern and distinguish God's voice versus all of the other voices in our life. Let me give you a great example of that. It's the story of Peter in Rome. It's entitled Quo Vadis, which is Latin for Where Are You Going? After Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter traveled, spreading the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. Eventually, his mission took him to Rome, where he worked to evangelize the people there and establish a Christian community. During the reign of Emperor Nero, the persecutions of the Christians began. One day, Peter's disciples found out that the Roman soldiers were plotting to secretly arrest him and ultimately execute him. His disciples then searched for Peter throughout the streets of Rome to tell him that. They finally found Peter, and they told him about this plot. They begged Peter to leave Rome immediately and save his life. And so Peter listened to them. Now remember that. Peter listened to his disciples, and he fled Rome in fear of his life. Now as Peter was making his way out of the gates of Rome, he saw this figure out in the distance approaching him on the road. As he drew closer to this person, he noticed it was Jesus Christ himself that was walking towards him. Well, Peter approached him and said, "My Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "I am going into Rome to be crucified again." Well, upon hearing that, Peter said to Jesus, "My Lord, I will follow you." And then turned around and walked with Jesus back into the city of Rome. Now, as they were entering into the city gates of Rome, Jesus suddenly ascended back into heaven. And it was at that moment that Peter realized the words that Jesus spoke to him were actually prophetic. They prophesied Peter's own martyrdom. Now, Peter realized that by turning around and going back into Rome would ultimately lead to his death. But by seeing Jesus Christ and hearing those words of God spoken to him, that gave him the courage and the conviction to meet his faith. It can be very easy at times to fall into that trap of listening and acting upon the voices in our life, the voices other than Jesus Christ. And we all have those voices. It's the voices of the media, the culture, our friends, our career, relationships. They're all telling us how to act, what we should value, how we should live our life. Like Peter, we can easily get distracted and listen to those voices and then act upon them. Peter listened to the voices of his disciples that were telling him to leave Rome and save your life, rather than listening to the voice of God that told him to stay here and imitate Jesus Christ in the greatest way possible by being the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. Step number three in knowing God's will for each and every one of us is we must be able to distinguish the voice of God versus all the other voices in our life. When we're able to do that, then we truly are able to live out God's will. Next in the story, it says that Eli begins to understand what's going on. Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. He said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Step number four in discerning God's will. Yes, we must be attentive to hear God's voice amongst all the other voices in our life. Yet sometimes, even when we hear God's voice, it can be difficult for us to understand it. It was for Samuel. He truly did not understand what God was asking him. Yet Eli did. Samuel needed the help of Eli to understand what God was doing. My friends, so too do we. Step number four in understanding God's will for us is that we need help in discerning or understanding God's voice and His will in our life. Athletes need a coach. Students need a teacher. Well, we also need help too. We need the help of good, holy people that can help us discern and understand God's voice in our life so that we can act upon it. Those holy people can come in the form of lay people, teachers, catechists, nuns, priests, whomever they are. We need to search them out so that they can help us. The story continues now. At the very end, God calls Samuel again. Yet notice, each time God calls Samuel, He calls him by name. Step number 5, in understanding God's will for each and every one of us, is that God's call is a very personal invitation. God calls each and every one of us by name because He knows us. Our God is not a distant figure far, far away. Instead, He is very close to us and knows us intimately. Remember the story in which God calls Jeremiah into discipleship. God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you." That's the level of intimacy that God desires for each and every one of us. God calls us by name, and therefore it's important for us to understand that His invitation is both deeply personal and incredibly intimate. I'll leave you with just one last thing to think about. Samuel is going to become one of the greatest of all the prophets in the history of Israel. Yet, he experiences both challenges and suffering as well as joys in his ministry to God. And so will we. If we truly are living out God's will in our life, we will experience joys and we will also experience suffering. We will at times have to pick up our cross and follow after Christ. Jesus Christ never said following Him was always going to be ultimate bliss, ultimate joy throughout our entire life. No. Instead, there will be challenges, hardships, and difficulties. You see that throughout the lives of the saints and the apostles. Yet, Jesus makes us the promise that He will be with us until the end of time. And my friends, with that promise, then like Samuel, we too can call out to the Lord with all the courage and conviction and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.